Welcome to this session. My name is Sam Chan. I'm the program officer of Microsoft. I'm responsible for ensuring the quality of the sensors for the customers. We've cooperated with OEMs to connect the sensors so as to ensure the quality of the sensors. I'm from Taiwan, and please forgive me about my Taiwan accent. In 2013, PM2.5 curve is there that 225 days is smoggy, and the days are sampled to analyze these smoggy days. 500 days ago, Da Vinci invented the step counter, which was improved, but all of this improvement are physical based. At present, we use the dynamic sensor to trace and to count the steps. The sensors is now widely applied to different types of devices. The sensors serves as the eyes of the devices. If the camera is taken as the eye, it feels like a skin. I mean, the sensors serves as the skin of devices. With the wide application of the sensors, Windows for long have supported development of 7. Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows XP are no exception. At present, we have Windows 10. We have added a lot of innovations. I want to share with you the following 3 aspects. The overview of the sensors on Windows 10. Second, the overall framework or architecture of the sensors. And when we connect the sensors to Windows 10, what kind of things we need to pay attention to. Now let's first look at the momentum or trend of the sensors development. The sensors ubiquitous. You could see the sensors attached to different types of devices, including desktop devices, PC, 2-in-1 devices, the tablet, and mobile devices, mobile phones, and also the devices for the Internet of Things, which is a hot topic. The sensors are used for the devices for the Internet of Sensors. Second, the longer the time is used for the sensor, the better, because we want to transmit data as many as possible. We want to trace the data. We want to make sure that the data transmission could happen between devices and through the sensor. The PC, in sake of saving the cost consumption, when the computer doesn't work, the sensors will remain idle. So we are talking about using cores with low power consumption and with a large buffer zone sensors. Second, we see not only increasing number of sensors, but also increasing number of types of sensors. For example, we use sensors to tell us the humidity, the temperature of the weather, or the genres of the plants. The self-defined sensors under Windows 8.1 did exist, but we feel the self-definition was not that simple. Second, even with the definition, it is not applicable to some CPUs. But sensors have witnessed a lot of improvement. So we have newly added types of sensors under Windows 10. Actually, the types of the sensors under Windows 10 increased by 8%, eight times. So we have the classification of the sensors. If the sensors are not what you want, you could have the self-designed sensors. But how to make the self-definition of the sensors? We have the source codes, which could be downloaded from SDN. And then you can connect these self-defined sensors to Windows 10. How to connect the sensors to PC? I think there are three ways. First, direct connection with SoC, through SoC. The advantage of this way is very effective and cost-effective, I mean. The second way of connection is to connect the sensors with the MCU and then connect it to SoC, which could reduce the power consumption. And the third way, which is quite popular nowadays, to bury the or embed the MOC on the SoC, because the biggest advantage is the low power consumption. High efficient CPU will take a rest when it is not needed for it to work. So in this way, with low power consumption, connectivity still maintains. Always connect is a concept that I've mentioned before. We want to give you more detailed explanation. We have three ways of connectivity. Lumia is the one way. Service Pro 3 is the second way. Domia 1520 is the third way of connection. And it's up to you to choose one out of these three. You may focus more on the cost, or you may focus on the energy efficiency. And with the third way of connection, and different interfaces may be derived. For example, the step counters or activity sensors could be connected also to realize OAS Connect, which saves a lot of energy also. Now, say a few words about the driver architecture of universal sensors of Windows 10. We're going to talk about three words. One is universal driver. Second, universal app. The third is WinRT API. Yesterday, we've talked about this word, universal driver. We have only one source code. After coding, it could be applied to different types of devices, including x86. You do not have to customize maintenance for different devices. Universal app means that it used to be used on the desktop, but with universal app, it could be used across the platforms, such as the mobile phones and SoCs, or wearable devices. So what is the benefit of this? These universal apps through APIs could read all this information transmitted from the sensors. Universal driver will enable universal app to rate all this information transmitted by the drivers. So the prerequisite is that you have to have the API in place first. The different types of sensors. One is the physical sensors. The barometer has been added by under Windows 10. We're going to have some new types of sensors, including some self-defined sensors, including the environment, CO2, and also the oxygen content. These kind of sensors are also added. These sensors could be combined. Then we could get some comprehensive or composite sensors, for example, the step counters, and also the meters to measure the height, etc. These are the derivative sensors. How to support these sensors by Windows? Two options. One is HID. HID standard writing. You could use it. It could be automatically generated. It is a kind of random driving. It needs the firmware support. The firmware needs to define HID first, and also protocol processing. Second option is a self-defined driver. It's called UMDF. UMDF saw great innovation. We used to use 1.0 framework. Under Windows 10, we use 2.0 for UMDF. With different framework, there are a lot of changes accordingly. Another important point is about convergence. If you have the A plus H plus M accelerator, magnetic meter, and the gyrometer, it is a kind of random convergence. It is applicable for mobile and desktop devices. At the mobile platform, we allow the coexistence of accelerator and a magnetic meter, which is applicable for the mobile devices. So this is a kind of a random convergence. No matter what kind of hardware and software you use, this random convergence is enabled. We also have the random display brightness algorithm. The framework, it has a very well-designed box, which could be used to maintain the reactor. It also supports a universal program. We have the source code, which could be downloaded. The keynote speaker also mentioned that this framework is open. When you do debugging, it's getting more convenient for you to do the debugging. UMDF 2.0 and the stack relations map of those drivers, either HID or non-HID. So this information could be reported through the source center, GPIOCIX or SPBCX upward to the HID drivers or IHV sensor drivers. And then it will be transmitted up to the UMDF 2.0 and then to WinRT API. The Win32 application could be deployed as you like. and 2.0 have some differences. You will see the revolution and innovation between these two generations of sensors. And 2.0 is getting more converged. We used to have a huge number of the codes, but now the number of the codes has been dramatically reduced under the FX2. It's very user-friendly and convenient. You could see it from WDK. FX2 has some other functions to help manage I/O array. It can reduce your workload. It also has some other benefits. You have the same firmware, the same hardware. You just need the same set of codes. You put the files, encoded files, into different devices. You do not have to tune or rewrite the drivers. It is not necessary. You do not have to rewrite the codes. What we need is those encoded or decoded files. For example, the barometer, you have to do some calibration. You can put it into the cable. Calibration is one thing. It has something to do with data. But for the codes, you just have one uniform set of code. One array of the codes have its own proprietary DDI. So one driver could help you to drive different types of devices. I think this is the main innovation that you could find in FX2. So after initiation of the device, you could initiate these functions. Very simple. Now I want to say a few words about GNSS, which is related to the indoor positioning. Under the first generation, sensor class extension framework was used to transmit it to 1.0 API. But now we have adapter embedded in the device, and so a lot of steps in between could be saved. In this way, the whole process is get more stable. So this is GNSS. It is innovation based. It covers different types of devices, including the mobile, the phones, and the desktop devices. I want to give you more detailed introduction about newly added supports, six parts. One is the activity testing and calculating. We provide an interface for the output of this information. They have the standard GUID. If the GUID identifies it, then it will identify the activity and do the corresponding calculation. We have designed six stages from 0 to 6. One is fixed, completely fixed or static. Second is the unrest. Number 3 is walking. Number 4 is running, driving, and cycling. If you do not fall into either part of this category, then you go to the category zero. Actually, there are a certain type of the flexibility. You think there are some status that need to be added into this area, please let me know. And thank you very much if you could give us some suggestions.
So this calculation can actually help us to report the status and reliability, and we can actually see what are the status for these two features. And so actually it can report several status and also can report the range of stability and reliability. For example, while I'm driving, and the phone is, there's an incoming call, and so then there will be two status. One is driving, the second is that I'm kind of I'm kind of uneasy, I'm changing my positions. But if the sensor is on the fixed on the meter, then it will just report the first status, which is driving, and but the other status may not be that reliable, and which also reported that you may not use. So when in the API we have simplified it, and if we think that's actually it's a more reliable activity, and the API will just get the data for that activity. But then Bas, my colleagues Bas and Henry have actually made a video to demonstrate how we do this activity, how we calculate the number of paces.
Thank you, Bas.
谢谢. So just now, probably it was not very clear. Now let's take a closer look. And so that's a universal app. So on the tablet, but this is on the cell phone. And so you can see before the activity starts. So it has three axes, and so it has three sets of data. And after its convergence, and the activity sensor is put on the right hand side, and then it will be there's also the historic data as well as the statistical data. And so for the third column, you can see he's walking, and so the tested activity is walking. Then the historic status is evolving. And then the data will be recorded. So when he stops, and so now it's already tested that he has stopped. So there's the relevant data recorded. And if you wait a little bit longer, and so you can see that the three axes do not have changes. So this is for the internal testing, what we have done. And if you need, you have other application needs, there is also the sensor info, which is very useful. Yesterday, during the keynote speech, and this was also demonstrated on every platform, there's this device, this application, and this tool. So it's very useful. And a little bit, then I'm going to talk about a barometer. And actually, we use HPAL. And the relative height, we use M meter as a unit. And the barometer actually can also have extensions such as the meters for height. and etc. So it has a wide range of applications. So it has also the kind of physical and self-defining sensors. And another is very interesting is the self-defined sensor, such as CO2 and sensor, UV sensor or pollutant sensor. For example, air quality and water pollution sensor. And in recent years, and we have actually made the sensors smaller and smaller, and actually which can help sense the breath and oxygen carriage and etc. So all the different functions can be added and self-defined. And then after you add your self-defined functions and the store device can just actually add it, and you can use it spontaneously. And then every sensor has a GYD, which helps you to define it. And so it helps to avoid duplication. And even though the sensor is so, if you use the same GYD, and this type of sensors will be more universal in terms of the use. And the self-defined sensors, actually, the device can be stopped by the users and through using the privacy. Now let's take a look at the processing of mass data. And the sensors need to actually collect the data and then send it to SOC. In this process, it can help achieve the mass processing as well as reduces the power use. And so it doesn't lose any data. And first of all, you can take a look at the upper part. It's the sample collection. It's like that. It's a kind of continuous data flow, then which is shown in the middle part. And sometimes we think this may consume a lot of power. So for the mass processing sensor, is that for example ABP, and you can tell to download something, and you can tell that how big the data is, and then the sensor get this kind of reference data, or then it will just do it in the mass processing. Another issue may arise that even though there's the hardware is supported, the data buffer has a limited, is quite limited. So if the ABP has a lot of requirements, then the data may just be added on and on and until it's saturation, and so then the sensor will just actually give the data to ABP, and so it avoids the loss of data. For the brightness of the monitor and for the self-defined monitor, we also have a better adaptation. And so we hope that when the screen is changing its brightness, and it could enhance the user experience, and it uses a kind of a progressive way for changing the brightness. So it also needs a monitor on the screen to support this function. But once it supports this function, so we hope that the AMOLED sensor in the future, and based on our API, can show this data with a very fluent means. Sometimes some data, and for example, we don't want to use some data for some time. And when we are, for example, writing a tablet, and we are afraid of the changing of the brightness on the screen, and which may cause inconvenience. So when we do this design, we also think about this point. And so, let's look at how to develop sensors on Win 10. First of all, hardware. Hardware requirement, and we hope that the minimum standard, the hardware should be consistent. and they actually has reduced the certain requirements of big one chain. One big change is that we don't require all systems to have centers to have sensors. So the sensors are optional. But once you have a sensor there on the system, we hope that the quality of the sensor is the best. So based on these two requirements, we have made some changes first. And the HLK will be the testing tool. And we have actually loosened the resolution, accuracy, and reporting rate, but it will be based on the manufacturer or the OEM. And so if there's a magnetometer or gyroscope and accelerator, and it has to support the three axles. And besides for the resolution, accuracy, and reporting rate, and actually we have loosened the standards, and it will be up to the OEM and ODM's regulations and standards. And as for the hardware lab kit, HLK, sounds like HCK. In the past, it was HCK. And I think probably some of you are kind of scared of HCK. And so because it doesn't pass, and then the next day is a nightmare again. So this is already the past. So because for HLK, and it's only for your reference. And it has actually over 100 testing items for sensors, but for most of the items, it's just for your reference. And that's why you don't need to worry about it too much. And yesterday in the yesterday's morning, and there was the speech about the optimization of the Windows 10, and also about the in the afternoon there was a speeches about the lab. I think many of you have been there, so now you may have this concept. So ultimate goal is that we want to hear from you and listen to your opinions, so that we can actually try to minimize the number of the testing items, and the majority of the manual items for testing has been eliminated. Emulate sensor is already still there, but that's manual. And you just it's manual, but only just one item is manual. But we hope the OEM and the hardware developers will continuously pay attention to the testing items of HLK, and which will be able to help you get some catch some of your problems. And but who will be there to solve those problems once they are called attention to? And on Win 10, actually we give this right to the OEM. And if the OEM thinks this testing is a failure, it fails, and but still it doesn't pass, and it's still okay. But and it will be up to the OEM and ODM to make the final decision. Pela has actually made the UV sensor. Yesterday, in the second keynote speech, and the short of the Qualcomm mini map actually can show the UV correctly. Bosch has also done a lot of innovative developments, and for the indoor air quality testing and other innovations. So not long ago in the sensor workshop, actually we worked with them for the ST Micro, has also done some innovation for the humidity sensor. AKM has also done the long distance sensor, but AKM doesn't need to write the driver because it has used the HID, long distance proximity sensor. It doesn't need to write the driving program, the driver's program. So this is the kit for AKM demonstration. So it will actually, it's on the computer. So the first step is to connect. So it's 9750. So the person is here, the user is here, and it runs. So you can see this yellow box here, which means that the system identifies the user is just in front of the computer, and then the computer just gets running, then the screen gets bright, and then the user can do other applications. Yes, I'm in front of the computer. Okay, it's too big. While I'm just moving around in front of the computer, so you can see the rotator is changing, but still it's feels that thinks I'm in front of the computer. But if I forget to lock it, when I leave, you can see that the data is dropping, and so that there will be some period for self-defining, and then the gray box shows that the person, the user, has already left. Then, and we can use other some ways actually to lock the screen for power saving. One back, then the color changes. And because this is just a standard HID format, so you don't need to do anything or write anything on it. So this is a human proximity sensor about human presence. And by the end of the year, you're going to see the finished product of this. So HID actually supports self-defining sensors. AKMs, just now we watched that demo, that's this type of sensor. We also use other methods to other ways actually to help meet your requirements about devices, about solutions. If you may consider to have the standard HID format because it will be very easy for maintenance in the future. Now you can get the Win 10 build and existing on the market. And so if your product now it's 2.0, and if so, you can actually see whether this your the product, the solution for 2.0. has great compatibility, and we need to get action, and you can actually go to our booth to see a lot of demonstrations, and you can and also please also download HLK. This is quite interesting, and you can also have also contact us by the email sensext@microsoft.com, and you should also participate in the WinHack driving programs and use the MSDN demonstrations and files, and you can understand the accelerator coding examples. So if you contact us, we will be able to, we will respond to you as quickly as possible. And if we upgrade to Win 10, then you can start writing. And but the first step is that you need to upgrade to Win 10. So I hope you can download 10041 and or above that, and because for HIDs, inner driving and CPO device orientation, simple device orientation, we have done a lot of corrections. So we hope that you can just download the 10041 build and SDK and SWDK can be then installed. Then you can do the development, and probably you can also use your old code for changes. And but if you, because you can, if you think that it's not quite easy, and because it takes a lot of time, and then you can still use the 8.1 version. So 8.1 version, and it's working well on Win 10. But in the future, we may not think it's going to have that good compatibility. But now the compatibility is very good.
If you haven't used HID, you can update your old device to test about the compatibility. After testing, you will feel at ease, have a good sleep overnight. But sometimes it is easy for updating, upgrading, and I suggest that you'd better upload the new functions and try to keep upgrading. HRID and non-HID sensors, if it is updated, the window update will put it into your device, and you will not necessary for you to worry about the compatibility. But sometimes we have some concerns. The devices are there, and we want to maintain part of it. You can upload and upgrade according to more specific rules that is very clearly described. So let's look forward to the new changes of Windows 10. Last but not the least, please do your evaluation, and your feedback is very important for us. I have been repeatedly reminded that you have to remind the audience to do the evaluation. So now I encourage you to do an evaluation and contribute your input. Well, actually, the speaker is making jokes to the translators. He's speaking Cantonese and want me to translate Cantonese into English. But actually, Cantonese makes no sense to me. I'll stay here for even longer. And if you have further questions, please come to me. Thank you.